Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This hour is brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards.
Halliburton falls down. He looks hurt. Here comes SGA the other way. Inside, and Williams throws it down. Halliburton's hurt right away when he fell. Of course, that strained calf. It's the right calf right away. He knew he was in trouble.
The Thunder have taken the NBA by storm. For the first time, the NBA champion resides in Oklahoma City. The storybook season is complete.
Yeah, Thunder. I get it. Mike Breen on the call, ABC. Game 7 of the NBA Finals. First part of what you heard was Tyrese Halliburton going down. And no, he could not get back up. Helped off the field after a lower leg injury that looked certainly like something with that Achilles after dealing with a calf strain and looking all world in 23 minutes in Game 6, a blowout in Indiana. He got off to a start that made you think, oh, we're doing big things. Unfortunately, 9 points early going, not to be. Thunder get their first ever, and this is a team that had Russell Westbrook, James Harden, and Kevin Durant at the same time. Their first ever NBA championship. First time in NBA history that 7 different teams have won championships in 7 straight years. So the parity's starting to get there a little bit, although I fear with SGA, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander and company, it might not continue. This is Rahimi and Harris, Russell Dorsey in for Layla Rahimi on this Monday. And we all had the same type, similar thoughts when we saw Tyrese Halliburton go down. It was, oh no. And then it was, I can't believe this happened. And it was just being mad.
Yeah, you're heartbroken for him, right? Because that's a guy that has had an unbelievable season as a whole, an unbelievable run in the postseason after everything came out about, you know, the player's name and the most overrated player in the NBA. Him taking that to heart and saying, all right, I'll show y'all overrated. Knocked down big shot after big shot, game winner after game winner. Then he sprains the calf. And you have the calf strain, and you always know, all right, because of where that is located.
Precursor.
When that's weakened, as we saw from Kevin Durant in that NBA Finals against the Raptors, when you have that calf strain, it could be a precursor to an Achilles tear. And I'm actually watching the game with my family last night, and my dad, my brother, and myself, each of us has torn our Achilles tendon. And you knew as soon as he went down, we all said, oh, man. Because we all knew what that was.
Like, I was sad for like a split second, but then I was mad. I was mad for Tyrese Halliburton.
Yeah.
The way he started that game, hitting the 3 straight
red
threes.
Hot.
You were like, oh.
Here, it's go time.
And it felt like the air didn't just go out of my apartment where I was watching on my couch, but out of the building. And this is a team in Oklahoma City. You know, the fan bases have been great this entire series, this entire playoff run, if we're being honest, keeping it a buck. But to see him go down and the way you're watching the game. Now, the Pacers were up by a point at the half.
Yeah, I was going to say, the adrenaline carried them to the half. And you just start to do the math in your head. Like, man, if they had Halliburton playing the way they played in this half, they would have, at the very least, given themselves a shot in the fourth quarter like they do. And it seems like the entire postseason, the entire playoffs, that's how they like to play. Like, they're going to just wait and wait, and then here we come in the fourth quarter. And then halftime happens, and it seemed like that's all that OKC needed to say, all right, let's breathe and do what we do best. The defense that they played in the second half, Chet Holmgren was amazing, and you look at what that guy can be when he's fully healthy. It's really not fair. And you look at a Pacers team that looked like they were out of gas. They just lost their vocal, emotional leader, and yeah, it's really disappointing to see their season finish like that.
So tough to talk more about the NBA Finals and, of course, the trade that preceded it that kind of hijacked the day. We now head out to the Circa Sports Illinois hotline where Trista Crick joins us. Download the Circa app today. Trista Crick, She's the host of the basketball podcast Heat Check with Trista Crick, also sports and betting analyst for NBC. Trista, how are you on this post-NBA Finals Monday?
Well, I'm good. I'm having a great weekend, and I'm flying out from Miami today. So I had a great time, but I'm gutted for Tyrese Haliburton, honestly, and gutted for the team as a whole, because we know Achilles injuries take almost a full season to recover from. So now probably Indiana is going to look totally different all next season and all next postseason. And this team was shaping up to look like they could contend again next year and maybe even in further years. And now I'm a little bit concerned for them.
So looking at what happened last night, we all talk about what that injury looked like. Are you surprised? Because let me tell you something. I thought the game would just be over at that point. And maybe it was, if you look at the big picture, but Indiana fought like they still could win the game. And the whole time I'm thinking, Trista, this would be the biggest upset of all time in NBA Finals history.
Yeah, that third quarter. So I don't know if you guys remember this moment, but the Thunder were just ice cold from three. And then I forget which Pacer hit the three. And then Shea came back, hit the step back.
Mm-hmm.
And then OKC hit two more threes back-to-back from there. So a 9-0 run after the made three from Indiana, and I was like, well, if OKC starts making their threes, I mean, this is pretty much over. And that's kind of what we saw. And then they got it to stretch it out to 22, and then we started to see the fourth quarter come back again. I saw it at 10-12, and I'm like, oh, okay, here we go again. T.J. McConnell's doing his thing. The Pacers are finding a way to just, like, slowly but surely come back, and they just couldn't get there. I didn't think it was completely over because of what we've seen from T.J. McConnell before in the game that Tyrese Haliburton was pretty much neutralized, and I thought, well, that's a possibility. That game four that we saw kind of felt like maybe – or game five kind of felt like that was a game that they could have won, and – just no dice, but I'm gutted for Tyrese, man. And it did look a lot like the KD injury back in 2019 against the Toronto Raptors.
Trista, I look at this series and I look at Game 7 for the Oklahoma City Thunder, and it feels like, especially that fourth quarter, it felt like a victory lap for Sam Presti, who has built what a lot of people believe is the most talented, also, the second youngest team to ever win a championship. And you see SGA. We know he's the MVP of the league. But you see Jalen Williams knocking down those threes, as you talk about, in the fourth quarter to really take the game out of reach. And then the defense from Chet Holmgren. He is extremely talented. And you say if he's ever healthy, the ceiling is for him is immense. But it feels like Sam Presti, you look at all the pieces that contributed to that win last night and through the series, like, I don't know if there's a better GM in basketball right now. Do you say that too?
Well, here's what I would say. Number one, what he's been able to do, and he got incredibly lucky, and he was really smart in how he evaluated Shea, right? Getting all those draft picks and Shea,
yeah,
that's going to go down as the worst trade probably in NBA history. So When you've accumulated that much in your coffers or in your cupboard in terms of draft capital, and he's a very smart drafter. And so to that end, I would say yes. I think he's built a new way of GMing, right? But I would say, and I'm not going to say that this is better than Sam Presti, but in a way I would say what Kevin Pritchard and Chad Buchanan have done with the Indiana Pacers is in some ways more impressive to me, because they didn't do that with really any of their draft picks outside of Miles Turner, right? They got Obi Toppin from the Knicks. They got Tyrese Haliburton from the Kings. They fleeced Boston by sending Malcolm Brogdon, who's kind of a team cancer, over to Boston to get Aaron Nesmith. They got Andrew Nembhard in the draft, but that was like a second round pick. So it's been one thing after another where you're not using draft. I think it's a lot harder to build a roster that way,
yeah,
than organically using your own picks, because you're still worrying about the CBA and the salary cap, and you've got to pay guys in a smart way. They let Buddy Hield go last offseason despite him being you know, a sniper from deep, 40% shooter, which I think was really smart. And you drafted Ben Mathurin. But there's only like a couple of guys that you can say Indiana leaned on that were their own versus guys that they identified from other teams and made smart moves. To me, that's like really on par with what Sam Presti has done. And to take a team that we were not even sure, like, and how fast they did it, right? Like that Tyrese Haliburton trade changed everything. But even in this season, in the beginning of the season, we're like, oh, well, maybe it was a fluke that they went to the Eastern Conference Finals last year. You know, obviously the Pascal Siakam trade was huge as well. So for them to turn it around mid-season and take Oklahoma City to the brink, had the chance to go up 3-1, what's the conversation like if they go up 3-1 and they win the title and with Tyrese Haliburton's injury kind of happening at the same time? I think we're saying some of the same things that you're saying about Indiana that you're saying about OKC.
Trista Crick, host of the basketball podcast Heat Check with Trista Crick and a sports and betting analyst for NBC, joining us here on Rahimi and Harris. Russell Dorsey in for Layla Rahimi. And let's look ahead to what's next, because you mentioned it. Basically, no Tyrese Haliburton next season. You already know what happened with the earlier trade for Desmond Bane. Now the Orlando Magic have to be licking their chops. And then you've got the Houston Rockets, who go out and don't even give up a first-round pick beyond this year's number 10 overall pick to get Kevin Durant. Where are they now in the pecking order, in your opinion, Trista?
Orlando or Houston?
Houston.
I mean, I think there's really not a lot of room for them to increase in terms of the standings, right? Because they were the 2 seed.
Right.
I think they get a lot better consistency-wise with scoring. So what we saw with Jalen Green in the first round against Golden State was he had one, maybe two good games. And then in the rest of the series, he even admitted the fact that he was just shook. He was just, the lights were too bright for him. He was ice cold from three. He's not a great defensive guy, despite Ime Udoka, you know, sort of instilling some of those principles in him. What you get with Kevin Durant is a guy who's just a certified bucket. He's not going to have those bad games. Now, the question that I have is Kevin Durant going to be healthy all year? Are they going to extend Kevin Durant and pay him the $150 million that he wants for the next 2 years? How does that affect, you know, what the team is able to do for everyone else? So I think it increases their floor in terms of how far they can go in the playoffs. But I don't think that this is a team that could beat OKC as built right now. They're a team that I feel like maybe in 2 to 3 years from now, maybe in Kevin Durant's last season with the Houston Rockets, maybe before he retires, they can push OKC. But I think they still have some developing to do with those young guys. And I think a lot of that comes from what we're going to see from Amen Thompson developing his shot.
Trista, I want to look at the other side of this trade for the Phoenix Suns, because you're talking about a team that was in between a rock and a hard place with the Kevin Durant situation. They find a suitor, they find the package that they wanted, but now they have a athletic volume scorer in Jalen Green with a Bradley Beal contract that I don't know if anybody is going to take on. And then the best player of that bunch, obviously Devin Booker, who teams would love to have, but they're unlikely to move. Where do the Suns go at this point, especially if, from the early reporting, there is no reroute for Jalen Green?
Yeah, no reroute for Jalen Green's tough. To be honest, that's rough. I mean, you're basically getting a worse version, in my opinion, of what you had with the Suns before, which is, listen, we don't need multiple shooting guards. I don't think that Jalen Green is a guy that's going to set the table for Devin Booker or Bradley Beal. So you kind of have three shooting guards on the team at once. And I don't love that for Devin. I don't love the situation for him at all. Now, I don't know what they can do with the number 10 pick. I don't know what their plan is. It sounds like they're going to take a player at 10 instead of trying to package that and get some more draft capital. I think that this team is screwed, to be honest. Like, I don't think that they're going to even make the plan. I think it's Dylan Brooks helps them a little bit, but this roster just doesn't make a lot of sense. They need to go out and get a big. I don't know if that big is in the draft for them. It feels like to me, if I'm the Suns, and I know that this is not going to happen because the Suns are just a joke organization, and like people, probably fans, are hoping for the days of Robert Sarver again with all his isms, but he built a better roster than Matt Ishbia has. I think, honestly, the only move that a capable and competent GM would make is to trade Devin Booker. Have to. Because what you'll get back from him is immense and very similar to what Brooklyn got when they finally needed to get off of KD and Kyrie. So that's the only move. I think they're in purgatory until then, and I think it's only a matter of time before Devin Booker signs the extension and then eventually says, you know what, I think I need a change of scenery.
I'm 100% with Tristan. Like, I'm a pro tear it down guy if you're not going to be a real contender. But that's the situation that Trista paints there.
Yeah, and yet he says all that, Trista, but he's still a Bulls fan, and they don't tear down anything.
No, don't do that. I've been crushing the Bulls for years.
I'm saying that's your team, though.
I
got to ask you, Trista. Okay, so we know about the heat check, and you know I follow you, so I know about the Daily W. Everybody knows about the Daily W now after former WNBA star Angel McCautry joined you on the podcast and went at Haley Van Lith by saying, quote, if Haley Van Lith had 10,000 followers, would she be in the league? Let me ask you that. Honestly, we're just talking about her true talent. Take away her followers. Would she be in the league if she only had 10,000 followers? She since come back, clarified, apologized to Haley Van Lith for the statement. But I think she was onto something there, not necessarily using Haley Van Lith as the example, but because there are only 156 spots in the WNBA. Used to only be 144 until the Golden State Valkyrie joined the league this year. I think there is more than just basketball, and you could say it's subjective anyway, but there's more than just basketball at play with who's on a roster and who's not. Kennedy Carter's my first go-to because I saw what she did last year for the Sky.
Yeah, I mean, we started the Daily W 3 months ago and started Let Her Shoot the podcast. I think this is episode 12. So going as viral as we did this weekend has been just a trip, right? I think it was like 7.5 million views on Yahoo Sports alone on their Twitter.
Right.
So I think from Angel's perspective, just really fast, just to kind of like start there, I think honestly she was onto something. And I think if it didn't go that viral, and I don't think older players are ready for what the interest is in the league. Getting aggregated is a good thing, especially when you're not in the league right now. You're trying to either get back in the league or maybe get an analyst job or comment on the W as a whole. I think she's got a lot of important things to say. And if you missed the full episode, she said a lot of things around Angel Reese as well. Same that Angel Reese was the same player as she was at Maryland right now, but she transfers to LSU, wins a championship, has that moment with Caitlin, gets a podcast, gets a shoe, and you see what she is, right? Do the Chicago Sky draft Camilla Cardoza and Angel Reese together if those moments don't happen? I don't know. And so I think that the point is, when you're on the fringes and you're not a transcendent star, not an automatic pick, right?
Right.
What do you have along with you? Do you have are you on the periphery, or like, were you a role player next to a transcendent star like a Kate Martin or like a Caitlin Chen? We've seen that now be very valuable to contending teams, and those players have stuck on, Caitlin Chen included, now getting picked up by the Valkyrie again. Are you going to bring in people? Like, are you going to be able to sell jerseys? Or even just on the very smaller end, if it's a coin flip and a jump ball, does the GM, are they just more familiar with who you are because you're dating an NBA player, because you're on the cover of Sports Illustrated, because we watched you play at Louisville a few years ago, because of all that drama that happened with LSU? That's no shade, but that's just the reality of where women's sports is as a whole. Because let's be honest, what we're seeing from Kurt Miller even in Dallas is like some of these GMs maybe are making decisions that are not just based purely on basketball. I think AZ Flood probably gets drafted to the Dallas Wings next year. How much does that have to do with her relationship and dynamic as Paige Becker's former teammate, and who knows what else?
Yeah.
So, like, that's just where we are right now. And to the point of Haley, like, Haley probably, if she doesn't go to TCU last year, isn't in the league. Like, maybe she has to go to Europe. Maybe she has to go the Kelsey Plum route and lean out, get more powerful, because Haley Van Lith, outside of that 16-point game that she has, is averaging like 5 points per game and needed Courtney Vandersloot to tear her ACL just to get any playing time. And the fact of the matter is, Chicago should be getting crushed right now for trading next year's first-round pick to have the opportunity to draft Haley Van Lith, who couldn't get playing time. all of that is not discussed right now in the women's game because we're so focused and so worried about keeping the women's game safe and protecting it like it's a baby bird egg instead of treating it like we do with the respect of the men's game where we do criticize and have honest conversations.
No, you're right, Trista. I say amen to everything you just said. If it's good enough for Bron and Bronny to be out here doing what they're doing, I'm not surprised by any of the tactics being used by front offices around this league. And yes, the Sky should be crushed because they have three wins, and the only three wins they have are against the two teams underneath them in the standings. It is not going well. But that's all the time we have right now, Trista. I'm sorry. We will continue this conversation next time we talk to you. That's Trista Crick, host of the basketball podcast, Heat Check with Trista Crick, and also the Daily W talking about women's sports. We appreciate you, Trista.
Thanks, Trista.
Thanks, y'all.
All right. That was Trista Crick. And woo.
Love that.
Woo,
she was cooking there at the end.
She was definitely cooking, and with good reason. And when we come back, we got another guest for you, Jared Payton. He's going to talk to us a little bit about Bears as we check in on his thoughts as we're in this dark period. But also, something that they did on WGN the other day had me cracking up. We'll get into that, give you a listen. That's with more on Raheem and Harris, Russell Dorsey, and for Layla Raheem today on the Score.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Score.
Jared Payton.
My name is Jared Payton, and I am here to motivate you today.
Former NFL running back.
Jared Payton wearing his father's number 34, and looking like the old man. Look at this run. A gorgeous job by Jared Payton.
The son of sweetness.
There's Walter with his Cubs jacket on, and here he comes up. His son Jared is with him. Sweetness. What an ovation.
Sports anchor for WGN.
We're going to have JP come up in a moment. The homer here as Tyone watches it fly. Milwaukee makes it 4-2.
Jared Payton on 670 The Score.
Uncle Luke got me hooked on Hennessy, so thank you to Uncle Luke.
Yeah, you know what that music means. Now joining us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, the one and only Jared Payton, WGN TV sports anchor, CircaLasVegas.com. Jared, happy Monday, man. What's going on in your world? Jared? Is he there? Oh, we lost him for a moment. See, the music gets you so hyped.
I was hyped. And then it happens, though. Technical difficulties, man.
See, Russell Dorsey getting a behind-the-scenes look at how things sometimes go here at 670 The Score on Raheem and Harris. He's in because Layla is off. And I got to tell y'all, if you haven't checked in on Twitch, that is something you might want to do because this man on twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score, he ain't got no sleeves on. He says, hot outside. And even though we do have air conditioning here in the Hyundai studios.
My mom did ask. She said she knew I was going to come host with you. She said, are you going to go sleeveless, word for word? And I said, Mom, you have to be who you are.
See, if Jared was in here right now, I think he would have sleeves on out of respect, decorum. But maybe I'm wrong, Jared.
No, I was in here with no sleeves, and he would have no sleeves.
Jared, yeah, what do you think about that?
First of all, I got to say what's up to my fellas, man. You guys are holding it down. Definitely would not have sleeves on if I was in the building. You know what I'm saying?
It's too hot, right?
Yeah, too hot, and I've been doing too many push-ups. So, you know, I got to make sure that, you know,
you catch Jared outside, and he give you the dap hook. Brother solid, man.
Pull you in tight.
He's solid.
Jared, I got to ask you. Go ahead,
Marsha. I was on my way to Peoria for my son's baseball tournament this weekend. And so when I heard that, you know, I was in the car driving. I wasn't able to jump on with you guys while you were at the park, Marshall. But when I heard that Russell was going to be on Monday, I was like, oh, sign me up, man. I'm going to talk to my boy in a minute, man.
Well, yes, Russ is out here making everybody proud. All the baseball coverage, of course, on Yahoo. You catch them on Friday nights. As long as it does not conflict with your time. And I know usually you go Jared Payton, you go WGN Sports, he's there giving you the highlights, the latest, whatever. But sometimes you got to make do with what you have and, more importantly, what you do not have. Explain what happened with you and Josh and why I saw you on camera for a highlight pretending like you were the players in the Cubs highlight because you didn't have the video of the actual players in the Cubs highlight.
Well, last week, I did the 4 o'clock news and, everything was fine. And this is just the world that we live in, just like us, just having our conversation and my audio cutting out, where I did the highlights at 4, Josh was setting up to do the highlights at 5, and lo and behold, the system that holds all of our video crashed. And so we had no video. All we could do was show everything live. So anything from the chopper to doing news, doing the weather, and like to be able to help out, everybody on the desk, we had to figure out a way. So we were in the back. It was me, Josh, and Rick Tarsitano, and also our guy, Joel, who's our lead producer. And he was back there. He was talking to us, and we're all trying to figure out, what do we do? We only got like 4 minutes before Josh is hit. We got to figure out how to make this happen. And Josh just came out and he was like, maybe Jared could reenact the highlights. And we all, it was like a light over our heads, just like, bing, turned on. And I was like, let's do it. Like, I'm all in. And when you look at the morning show on WG, and everybody loves it because of, the craziness that happens in the morning and how much fun it is, we don't get to do that a lot on the evening news. And so it was our opportunity. And Josh and I, we had our show Sports Feed back in the day on CLTV, an hour show every single night for 5 years. And like for us, like just doing impromptu stuff, that's what we're all about. And so I just grabbed a bat. We had two jerseys, a Sandberg jersey and then a White Sox jersey. And I grabbed them and also had to do the highlights, but then also had to do the costume change as well throughout the broadcast. And so it just goes to show, less than 5 minutes, we got on set, and it's kind of easy to reenact a PCA home run because we've seen a lot of those. And then I think the hardest part was pitching like Jameson Taillon. That was a little tough because I was trying to act them out as who they are, especially the guys up at the plate, and it ended up being a success, and a lot of people reaching out saying, I can't believe you guys did that. That made me laugh.
No, the tie-on was spot on because you literally threw the ball, pretend like you're throwing the ball, and then your neck whips back as you watch it fly. That's been a thing since he leads the National League in home runs allowed.
Yeah, it is rough. But you know what, man? This is what it's all about for us, is being able to be able to, we all do. We watch these games every single day. And, even with my son playing baseball, the hardest thing is week in and week out. And especially when you're playing good teams and good competition, it is rough. And it's hard to stay on top and hitting a baseball. My son, we were just talking now, we were throwing right before this outside. And he just said, you know how hard it is to hit a baseball, Dad? And so to see guys having success, like a guy like PCA and all that he does, not just at the plate, but also in the field, it's amazing to be able to watch these guys, but still a lot of baseball left.
There's the thing that I love about you, Jared Payton. I love how invested you are into your son's baseball career. It's one of my favorite things to watch on social, your son Jaden and his growth as a player. But I got to ask you this, as a sports dad, but especially a baseball dad, hottest weekend of the year so far, as a sports dad, how do you go about doing this for our sports parents out there on the hottest day of year? Are you coming with the t-shirt, the cutoff? Do you have the cooling towel? How is Jared Payton watching his son's game?
Russell, we had everything, man. We have all that stuff. I mean, it was Saturday was hot, and we had a game early on, and I was just about to post it. He's had a phenomenal year so far, man. He's been playing well every single year. It seems like he's getting better. Not a real home run hitter, but he's getting there. The power is getting there. And to watch him Saturday go 4 for 4, park two of them, he hit one at least 300 some feet, man. And we couldn't even find the ball. It's crazy, especially with these triple SA bats, man. Once you get them, the icon, you hit these things out, they go far. So for me, it's really just the cutoff shirt, sometimes just the matching colors of the team, the black and the red, of someplace for Athletes HQ. So we just we have fun while we're out there, but definitely sunscreen. And you can see the tan lines if you're watching on the video. My Oakley is kind of on the side, man. I'm gonna have to put a lot of makeup on that when I go into work today.
Farmer's Day coming in.
That's real. That's real right there, Jared. I got to ask you, since we got you here, and the Cubs are kind of having a little bit of a stumbling block here, but that's okay because it's 162 games. You're not gonna win them all. How concerned are you though about the Cubs heading into this stretch where they're playing all these teams with winning records up until the All-Star break?
Well, I mean, this is kind of how this season's gone, especially when you look at how the Cubs started out, right? I mean, just it wasn't easy. And I think now this is where you start to see what a team is truly made of. And it's just going to be interesting to see what Jed does moving forward as well. You know, pitching is definitely a focal point, but to be able to lose, you know, two of your starting pitchers and still be in this situation speaks volumes to where this ball club is, you know, and what Craig Counsell has done for this ball club, but also as well to see the guys be able to step up. It is to see the growth of PCA and the stardom that he's getting, and, you know, to watch him. And it seems like on every single the days that he's hitting home runs, Seiya's hitting home runs as well. You want to see this progression from this ball club, not worried. I think this is what you have to do. If you want to be in that conversation of being a getting to the postseason and having an opportunity, you have to go through these tough stretches. And this is where you find out what kind of team you actually are. So it's always easy to beat I shouldn't say it's always easy to beat the bad teams, but this is where you find out what you're made of as a ball club.
Well, we are certainly finding out. Four with the Cardinals starting tonight in St. Louis. First time they've seen St. Louis all season. Jared, we, as always, appreciate you giving us a little bit of your time and stopping by to talk sports and other things with us here on Raheem Harris.
You know, this is the first time I've been on the Score and did a segment and not talk Bears. Do you understand that?
Yeah,
that
I do.
I appreciate you, Marshall. I appreciate you.
Well, we know it's not Bears season right now, but also other things are going on, and you know more than just Bears is my point.
I love you. Hey, you two are having a phenomenal show, man. Have fun for the rest of the show, and I appreciate you guys for having me.
Thanks,
all right,
Jared.
That's Jared Payton. Catch him on WGN-TV. He is the sports anchor, the sports man. He might even do a little improv if things happen to go sideways. Time for us to take a timeout, but when we come back, you know what time it is. It's halftime. And even though usually we don't talk about sports or sports figures, I'm talking about the GOAT. Because the GOAT was out here showing you that even though he is retired, if it's anything themed sports-wise, he's still going to dominate. I'll explain on the other side. It's more Raheem and Harris. Russell Dorsey in for Layla Raheem on 670.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Score.
What time is it?
It's halftime.
We all know what that music means. It means we have gotten almost to the halfway point of the show, and by the time it's over, halftime will be over, and that means we'll be halfway through, because when halftime ends, you play the second half. That's how that works. Raheem and Harris, Layla's got the day off. Russell Dorsey of Yahoo Sports,
hello,
National
friends.
Baseball Insider. You can catch him on Apple TV. Is with us. So far, we've talked about the home run derby that happened over the weekend and how the Cubs lost 2 out of 3, even though technically they won the home run derby 11-10. Bruce Levine with a report that the Cubs could be trading for an arm starting pitcher in the next 7 to 10 days. Also, we talked a little bit about World Series contenders. We took your phone calls, had your texts in as well, and asked, well, what do you need to see from the Cubs? We'll continue that conversation later on in the show. We also had Trista Crick join us to talk NBA Finals, Kevin Durant trade, and some drama in the WNBA. And Jared Payton of WGN, he dropped by to talk non-Bears, proving that he
can
talk
about... You know what's
funny?
I had a Bears question if we didn't have to go to break.
What was your Bears question going to be?
It was about Trey Hendrickson.
Oh, they ain't getting Trey Hendrickson.
It was a good question, though.
Okay, I believe you. Now it's halftime. This is Russell Dorsey's first halftime. And he wants me to start to set the tone. He says, I need to take pitches like Ian Happ at the top of the lineup, not like Pete Crow Armstrong, because he's swinging for the fences, and he's going to play the Pete Crow Armstrong role in this particular segment. Okay, so let's start with this. Tom Brady, the GOAT, right? No one's arguing that. All those titles. Seven-time Super Bowl champion. He emerged as the winner of something I didn't know was a thing. The inaugural Fanatics game. That's why I didn't know it was a thing, because they never done it before. Part of Fanatics Fest in New York, and where Michael Rubin and his company Fanatics just has a whole bunch of celebrities, athletes, former and current, come through and do stuff. They have panels. Kevin Durant found out he was traded while doing a conversation interview with Taylor Rooks. And they have a competition with eight athletic-themed sports competitions. And there is a 100-person leaderboard. And Tom Brady finished first among all athletes, celebrities, and just regular people, taking home the $1 million prize like he needs it. Brady, the former New England Patriots and Tampa Bay Buccaneers quarterback, who is currently a part owner of the Las Vegas Raiders and an NFL broadcaster for Fox Sports, said he will give $5,000 to each of the 50 fans who competed in the event and donate the rest to charity. That's what you do when you win $1 million and you don't need it. Now, here's what's interesting. Tom Brady won. I'm going to tell you what the skills are. The quarterback skills.
Okay.
Basketball shooting in the around the world format.
Okay.
Soccer goal scoring. Okay. Baseball pitching accuracy. A washer dryer hockey shooting challenge. A WWE superstar entrance. A UFC striking challenge. And a closest to the pin golf challenge. I see why he won. Those are things you would think he would be good at, right?
Yes. So, number one, he played football, what, 3 years ago?
Yes.
4 years ago, the last time. So, I understand that he used to do that. He does like to play basketball. I've seen him do that in off seasons. He also played in high school. And then he was drafted in the 18th round by the Montreal Expos. He was the last, I think he was the last
Left draft pick of the Expos before they moved to Nashville.
That was still playing
Washington?
Their sport.
Okay.
So that's three of the eight already.
Yeah.
He had a big advantage. And Tom keeps himself in really good shape. I think that's a big part of it. So if you can get past the baseball pitching competition, because that's the one that's always going to get people. I saw Joe Burrow, who I love, but that brother was not playing baseball.
Yeah, everything was just a bit outside.
Yeah. He's yanking stuff. Like, that's usually how you know somebody hasn't played. Like, when you're pulling down and yanking the ball and it's bouncing and, yeah.
You got to throw it like a dart until you don't.
Yeah. I'm not surprised that Tom was able to win this competition.
Here's the interesting thing. Six fans were among the top 10 finishers.
Interesting.
L.A. Clippers star James Harden finished fourth. Retired New York Giants quarterback Eli Manning fifth. And they were the only other athletes to finish in the top 10. Also a fan, 39-year-old Pennsylvania teacher Matt Dennish, he finished third, 326 points, to win a 2003-04 Topps Chrome Gold Refractor LeBron James rookie card, numbered to 50 and graded 9.5 by Beckett Grading Services. Those of a certain age remember Beckett Baseball Monthly. Dennis later sold the card to Brady for $250,000.
Oh, nice.
And a signed card and jersey from the future Pro Football Hall of Famer.
Oh, so, that's sick.
So he got the cash, but he also got memorabilia.
He parlayed that into a quarter and some memorabilia from Tom.
Yeah, so that's good. So that
and got to meet Tom.
That's
really cool.
I thought that was cool. Now, what do you have?
All right, so my thing for you, Marshall, we live in what I believe is the best city in the world. Beautiful Chicago, Illinois, especially in the summertime.
Summertime shy.
But I want to ask you, as somebody that moved to our city,
yes,
and is not from here, when you have a friend that comes to town and they ask you for recommendations on food, what are the two restaurants you send them to?
I don't really do the food recommendations. Here's why. I don't want to be the person that you get mad because I didn't send you to the nicest place, or you wanted more of a hole in the wall place.
Okay.
So if I was like, I tell them tavern style over deep dish, so don't do it. Don't fall for the trap. It's the same thing I would say if you were going to Philly, where I lived for 11 years. Mm-hmm. Don't go to Pat's and Gino's.
Oh, I know that part.
Don't do that. So I would probably send them to maybe Harold's, just to be like, this is what they do here.
Where?
Yeah, this is what they do here with the chicken. Like, okay. just let them know. And then if they want like a nicer place, I'd probably send them like Lou's place, Avli. I like Avli. So okay. like, and it just depends, man.
So you want me to give you my strategy?
Yes.
First thing I'll ask somebody is, what is your vibe?
Yeah, well,
because
that's
everybody has a different vibe. Yes. Everybody has a different thing that they come to Chicago for. But some people are looking to just go out, dress nice, go somewhere with cool vibe and ambiance. Some people are like, what has great cocktails? Some people are like, what has great food? Like, what's a great experience? And so usually after that, I'll gauge and give them.
Now you're narrowing it down. If it's cocktails, I'll be like, yo, go to Money Gun. You'll have a great time.
Everybody might not be a Money Gun type of person.
And they're probably not my friends.
It's the best cocktail bar in the city.
They're not my friend.
Love Money Gun.
They wouldn't be my friend asking me for recommendations.
So, yeah, I was just curious because that happened to me. And I said,
what'd you say?
Well, for this person, their vibe, I sent them to Lyra in West Loop.
Sparklers?
Yeah, yeah, because okay.
You know, I got
you know, it was one of those people that like, I want to be in the mix. Yeah.
Yes.
You got to know the mixy people. And then they wanted a nice steak. So I said, okay, you can't go wrong in this city. But
so
for
many
me,
steakhouses.
If you can get into Bavette's, go to Bavette's.
Yo, the bacon at Bavette's. Have you had that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I have. I had a lot of things at Bavette's. But the problem with Bavette's is those reservations, they are gone quick.
Oh, you pull up to the bar anytime.
See, and that's what I tell people. It's like, if you can't get a reservation, go to the bar, the parlor area.
Okay, so I'm with you on these picks. Yeah. Like, yeah, I'm
but I just wanted to know your process because everybody's different.
Well, I also say sit outside on a nice day at Trivoli Tavern, and that's a good eats, good, and you're kind of in the mix-ish if you like a West Loop vibe. Mm-hmm. Now, there's also Golden, like the Viagra Triangle, if you want to go that route. I mean, it just depends. But me, I like to stay low-key, so...
I've always hated that name for that area, by the way.
Well...
Yeah, that's the first time I ever heard that.
It has that name for a reason.
That's what it's called. So, where it's... I don't know what the... It's over there in Gold Coast, Tavern on Rush, back at the old Tavern on Rush. It's
yeah.
It's the Bellevue now, and then the new Tavern on Rush is across the street, and there's the Gibsons over there. That area has been known over the decades as the Viagra Triangle. And it always made me uncomfortable because, like, woof, like, what are we doing here? But yeah, that Marshall's
the name
like,
tells
that's
you what they're
called.
Doing there.
That's so whoa,
it's,
yeah.
State Street, Chicago Avenue, and Rush Street.
Yep.
Those are the three streets that make up the Viagra Triangle, which is a right triangle because it has a 90-degree angle.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So it's the Waldorf is over there, and
all the fancy
shops
places where Russ goes.
No. Let's
where
stop.
He takes his.
We
got
to stop doing that.
Where he takes his ladies.
No, Russ doesn't have any ladies.
Meat?
And he doesn't take them. No. Especially not after the Viagra Triangle talk. Russ goes, see some people, go to the Bellevue, get a burger or something. I'm a blue collar guy.
Whatever, Russ. Every time I ask you if you want to get a meal, you say, no, I can't.
No, you always asking me when I'm doing something, though.
No, you just say, like, no, I'm in the house.
Quick question, though, before we go to break. You have to let's say your friend wants to do the deep dish touristy thing. Where are you taking them? I think there's one right answer.
I'm taking my friend to Pequod's and saying, right,
yeah,
get
Pequod's
away from everything else.
Pequod's,
let's go to Pequod's.
Pequod's is my answer.
Come on, Robbie.
I just don't like...
I wasn't going to get it wrong.
I don't like my... pizza to be a casserole, but I understand people do. I get it. Deep dish. Yeah. It's not for me.
Secret.
I'll eat it, but
Pequod's,
like...
Pequod's extra cheese.
With all the stuff underneath.
Trust me.
Whatever.
Trust
me. I've had it. I like
people. Most people don't know I was talking to Chris Camp about this over the weekend. You got to get the extra cheese because it changes the dynamic of the
I just don't want to feel like I can't move after I eat pizza.
We don't eat it every day.
All right. Marshall. All right. Well, coming up next, we got five on it. Russell Dorsey's first time doing that as well. Russell Dorsey in for Layla Rahimi. You are listening to Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.